even involved.
All right. Well, you know, sometimes extenuating circumstances happen, but
no,
very good, buddy. Well, that sounds good, because I know the Mrs. there loves her water skiing, so I'm assuming itching to get going on that this evening.
That is a fact, sir. That is a fact. So well, like I said, in the grand scheme of things, we're not down and out. It seems convenient. It's a little annoying, but yeah, I mean, really, it's a cover for a post, right? We'll be fine. We'll be fine. So, how did your project down south go? Did you acquire any new business from that trip yesterday?
So it was a very successful trip, and there was agreement across the board that the site needs some improvement and needs some upgrades, and there was a unanimous approval to spend the money to work on the site and fix it up, because it's in need. I mean, it hasn't seen anything in about 35 years of time, so. Now we'll just see. You know, everyone agrees that we need to spend some money out here, and sometime we'll tell on if and when we get rolling on that. But no, it was very, very positive and successful. Just a lot of driving, 5 hours of drive time. I'm not complaining though. They're paying me to drive on nice, beautiful, sunny day. So now today we're heading down to Ellicottville, have another install to do. So we're just pounding things out, Tom. But another great day to be outside, though. We're trying to knock these out. Tomorrow probably be a night day unless the weather changes here. So just getting stuff done, buddy. Taking advantage of the beautiful weather. Working on that suntan too, man. My driver's arm here. I gotta even out the left side here is getting kind of toasty, and the right side, I'm starting to get a two-tone thing going here. So I gotta figure that out. But if only the whole summer was like this.
Yeah, we have had some good weather the last few days here. Have another nice day today. Tomorrow looks pretty optimistic as well. The weekend looks to be in the crapper here and up north. Oh well. You know what follows 2 days of rain in Rochester, don't you? Monday.
Oh, that is true, buddy. That is true. The same here in Buffalo. The weather gets nice, just in time to go back to work.
Exactly. Hopefully we get it out of its system here in early June, and in late June and through the rest of the summer, we're good to go.
That's what I'm hoping, though, as well. I was talking to Artie the other day, and he was talking about that El Nino. It's either you're going to get a real dry, hot summer, or it's going to be a rain build. And I remember a couple summers where that El Nino was a factor here, and it was miserable. It just rained. It was wet and rainy, and rained the whole summer the last time it happened, but it's been a few years, so I'm just hoping we don't get that.
Exactly. So we'll wait and see, but we'll deal with it regardless, right?
No, that's the whole thing, buddy. That's the whole thing, though. Oh, how did your day go? How'd your office day go yesterday? Pretty smooth?
Well, it's got some admin stuff done in the morning. Then I got called out to client out in Pittsburgh, which is out on the east side. It's about a 45-minute drive. And then, of course, while I was there, I got called back to one of the hotels. And I had to stop there on my way home yesterday. So, all in all, it worked out. I had a pretty good day. It's service desk morning for me today. So, 8 to 12, I answer the phones and deal with any trouble tickets that come in. So, usually by Thursday, the dust has pretty much settled. And it's typically quiet, but never know. Shit happens, right?
How about that? It does sometimes happen at an inconvenient time, like, Friday afternoon, or, 3 hours left of your day, and then you're going on vacation, stuff like that. Absolutely. Hey, how did you make out with Hilton and the printer situation? Did that get sorted out?
Finally, in theory. So, we got it working, and then they closed the ticket, which I said they could do, because it appeared as though we were done. And then I'm reading the notes on the closed ticket, and it says, created a temporary exception that's good for 7 days, and if the printer doesn't authenticate to the network, then the exception gets removed and the ticket gets closed with request denied. And I'm like, what the heck is that all about? So we'll know more in 7 days, Dave.
So are they hoping that it's going to authenticate between that, between the time they started at and 7 days? Like, is it something where they're hoping it's just going to auto-authenticate? I mean, that really? That does not sound like a solution.
And I don't have I have zero visibility into the environment. It only makes information that I've been given. So my understanding, my belief is they have a network access control product that basically you can't plug anything into the network that's not allowed to be on the network. So they created a temporary exception for this printer in their network access control solution. And I don't know what it takes for it to authenticate in order for it to stay, but it sounds like if for whatever reason it doesn't authenticate, then the exception gets removed. I don't understand the how and the why behind that, but I kind of have an understanding of the circumstance. And it baffles me because they supplied the printer. So it's just like, why wouldn't it authenticate? Why would the exception get removed? I just did, well, hopefully it doesn't, right? That's the win, and I don't have to go jump on somebody's desk and make a scene.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, because you would think that on that device they would be able to authenticate right then and there. That seems really strange. That, you know, almost sounds like a Band-Aid, Tom, and then in 7 days you're going to fail. But, well, hey, hopefully, maybe some magic will happen and it'll just magically randomly authenticate and then you're in business. So, yeah, hey, let's hope for the best. As long as the client knows that you have no control over this whatsoever, then you're all done. I find it hilarious that, you know, they're having this issue with, you know, a solution that they provided on a network that they manage and control. I mean, they have full A to Z control of that network, so that's quite interesting. It's almost like they have a problem and they're just trying to band-aid it for the moment.
Or they have to caveat the exceptions or the work that they did, understanding that, hey, you know, we're pretty sure we're going to be okay here, but just in case we're not, this is fine. So it may just be kind of like a default statement that, hey, in case it's not working in 7 days, this is why. We'll see. We'll know more in 7 days. I'm not trying to second guess what they do or why they do it. A lot of their what and why they do kind of baffle me, but I understand what network access control is, and I can appreciate its necessity for security reasons, but sometimes people take things just a little too far. But again, you know, security, as you know, security is always a balance between convenience and security. The more secure something is, the less convenient it is for certain.
I mean, I get it, though. You're absolutely right. I mean, network security, especially enterprise environment like that, I mean, it totally makes sense, though. Yeah, but what? If it magically works in the end, then it's all good. Well, that's it. I mean, yeah, for you. You know, and on the one hand, it's kind of nice that you guys aren't responsible for it, so you're not wearing it at, you know, not working or inconsistently working. But on the other hand, you have no control over the environment. It's not a fun spot to be in.
And the property is understanding. They know we have zero control over the environment, and all we can do is just facilitate the changes and the request and do our best to make sure they get them done. So, it's all good.
In South Wales.
Now, how does it work with that particular property? Is it like a franchise type situation, or, you know, or is that an actual like corporate property that you guys port?
It's a franchise. So a company here in Rochester owns it, and then they pay for the franchise rights to be a Hilton branded hotel.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's just great.
Yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is. So I don't know. What else you got going on? Do you have plans for your weekend? What's going on this weekend with you and the kids and the wife?
Let's see, what do we got going on? Tomorrow night, got a wedding to go to. Co-worker is tying the knot, so we got that to go to tomorrow night. So, Grammy and Grandpa have the kiddos tomorrow night, and then, Saturday, you know, a lot of it has to do with the weather, Tom. A lot of it has to do with the weather. If it's nice, we're going to be outside, get some more stuff done. If it's not, then we'll probably be inside, do some cleanup around the house and that. Kind of going to let things kind of shake loose and see where they go. We got nothing firm on the schedule. So my sister-in-law, her town has a town-wide garage sale coming up, and we're thinking of going through the basement and bringing out all the stuff that had been sitting on the shelf for years that we're like, oh, this would be great, and oh, we will do this and this, and oh, that knife, and they've been on the shelter so long, maybe throw them out of the garage sale, see if we can recoup a couple of bucks and go from there. So I think that might be what we're doing. It's all going to depend on the weather, buddy. If we can get outside, we're going to be outside, but it does not look promising. So I know you're going to get in the boat in the water when you're out here. You guys got any other projects you plan on tackling?
Yeah, the only other project I got to make a couple small adjustments to the boat lift before we put the boat in it, but that should only take about an hour. Other than that, the only other project I got is a nap.
not a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. It's nice when you can kind of go out, a little bit of work, and just relax. You know, that's a nice balance. You know, my folks' place growing up, it was, you know, by the time we get done with all the yard work and maintenance and everything else, it looked beautiful as we're pulling out of the driveway to go home because it was the end of the weekend.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's another home, right? So it has all the responsibilities and circumstances and maintenance that a home needs.
Well, and that's exactly it, so, you know, but it's one of those, you know, if you get out there enough and everything else, they kind of maintain it, go from there. It's just, yeah, for us, it was, you know, again, by the time we would do any, you know, upgrades and maintenance and, mowing and trimming the trees and everything else, it was like, oh, man, this place looks great. All right, now it's time to get in the car. We got work tomorrow.
That's you got it. So I'll probably have to get a lawn mow in there tomorrow as well, but that doesn't take an hour to do, so it's all good. I actually don't mind mowing the lawn. It's busy work. It's a sense of accomplishment, but it requires zero thought.
No, that's true. That is very true. You can just kind of sit there and veg and do your thing, though. So. How's father-in-law doing with his recovery? Is he getting around better?
Yeah, he's doing amazingly well. He's back driving. He still has some limitations, but he's still very mobile and very back at it again.
Well, that's good news. That's good news, because, yeah, I know you said it. Kind of killing him not being able to get around and everything else. So, now, does he go up to the property quite a bit? Does he stay up there quite a bit, or do you only really go up there when you guys are up there?
He just goes when we go. So, we're going up this afternoon. I believe he's coming up tomorrow.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Well, that'll be good for sure. So, and then, yeah. So, other than that, buddy, not a whole lot going on here. Just working my way down the 219 here, just starting to head into the woods. It looks like they reopened the other side of this road was closed this morning. There must have been a pretty bad accident. They had the northbound section closed, but I see traffic flowing. We're heading south, luckily, so wouldn't impact us either way. So, but other than that, man, that's about it. Not a whole lot else going, you know. Just project wise, you know, haven't really had time for anything radio wise. Got to do an update on one of the nodes. I know that the hourly weather conditions isn't working. I tried to run the strip to update that, and the strip failed. So I got to take a look and see what's going on there. But other than that, you know, just between getting stuff done outside. And try to just get things going, man. Get us in the summer mode.
Hey, my friend, I feel you. And did you get your deck out?
Oh, the deck is on. The deck is out. Yeah, and I actually got it done before the garbage guys came and brought it all up, and they took the whole thing. Took three different garbage trucks, but they got it done. They got it. They got it squared away. So, which I was real grateful for that. That's the one thing with my town. I you know, when it comes to taxes and everything else, I don't. You know, I'd love lower taxes, but I don't complain. Because the services are phenomenal. They just take anything and everything. I mean, you know, I couldn't believe they're throwing sections of the deck with, you know, 2x6s and 4x4s, and they're crushing them, throwing them in the back of the garbage truck, and they're just crushing them with hydraulics. It's like, okay, whatever we're doing to get it done. So, but yeah, no, the deck is out. The deck is on. Reached out to the concrete guy a couple times. He's supposed to get back to me with a time frame for when they're doing it. The original time frame was in a couple of weeks. They were going to come pour the concrete, but you know, the spring has not been very conducive to concrete work between the cool temperatures and all the rain, and so I don't know. I have a feeling they're probably running behind, but we are ready to go.
Good, sounds good. So yeah, that hydraulics on the back of those garbage trucks—that's some hardware right there. I've seen them swallow up some pretty nasty things, and it sounds like your dock sections fall in that category.
Yeah, I'm not going to believe it. I mean, I'm looking at it, they're heaving at the back of the truck, and I'm like, I mean, there were some 4x4s in there, you know, and I'm like, I mean, now don't get me wrong, the wood was all rotted. So I should preface it this way. It was, the problem was when they built the deck is they used solid skirting all around it, and so it couldn't breathe, so the moisture just sat underneath the deck, and so, you know, a lot of the wood was dry rotted, so, you know, it was soft, but still, man, they were chopping that up like it was paper. I mean, it was just, it was amazing, so, but we got that, got that squared up and got that out of there, and then I was going to start to dig up the concrete. They used, instead of putting the post in concrete, they used the metal bracket, the post in concrete, and they just attached the bracket to the bottom of the 4x4s, and I was going to start digging up the concrete, but the guy that's coming to port, he said, no, don't worry about that. If we got to dig them up, you know, we're bringing a bobcat. So he said, for us, it'll be nothing. No sense in you doing that. And I'm I was grateful for that. That really simplifies the job. So I just cut the metal brackets off of the concrete, and that's about it. Bud. So I'm just looking to get it done, and then the in-laws bought them a playset for their birthdays. So we got that assembled. It has a swing and a tree fort, a sandbox at the bottom of it, a rock climbing wall, and all this fun stuff. And you know, the kids are loving that. You know, they've been using that extensively all week. And man, I never had that stuff growing up. I mean, it's awesome, but boy, a lot simpler time for when I was growing up.
And that's fact. The entertainment available for kids today is way different than the entertainment that we had when we were kids. We had to go out and make our own entertainment. So, yeah, it is what it is. I don't know that it's good. I don't know that it's bad. I just know that it is. Well, good news on the deck. Hopefully your concrete guy there rolls in a timely manner so that you can get that done and enjoy your deck this summer, your patio, I should say. Enjoy your patio this summer. So I'm gonna step out here. I got a couple of things I want to get looked at and take care of before my 8 o'clock switching hour. So you have safe travels. Have a good day today, good day tomorrow, and a wonderful weekend with you and the family, and hope you generate a couple of bucks at that garage sale. TC2KOO from 82HW.
7-3, buddy. Have a great weekend. Good luck with the boat there. Get that in, and safe travels up there, and you sure have a great weekend, and we'll catch you later, buddy. 7-3, KC2KOO mobile.
7-3, my friend. 82HW is clear.
82KOO from WA2WPI, Viceville Mobile.
WA2WPI, KC2KOO Mobile. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How's my signal?
Give me 1 second. I'm just climbing up a rather large hill. So the repeater, Peter's got a little bit of picket fencing on it here, but it should clean up momentarily, and we'll see where you're at. So, all right, go out again.
Pretty good. Good morning again. I had the day off, so I figured it's such a nice morning I'd get out on the bike again, finally. And it's been a long ride, but get out and get the muscles moving and enjoy the day. I've been listening to you guys for the last couple of minutes, so go ahead.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, you're sounding great. Full biting, good audio, nice, clean audio, sounding fantastic. So, and very good for you being bicycle mobile there. Yeah, beautiful day to get out. I don't blame you there. Especially get out early. It's supposed to be a little warmer today. But now that sounds real good. So how far are you planning on biking today?
Well, usually when I was doing this more regularly, I would do like 6 miles. I think this morning might try 3, which I think that's about all my knees are going to take for today. So, but yeah, I haven't been on the bike in quite a while because of my work schedule. I only have two week mornings off, and I usually sleep in a little bit. But it's already awake this morning, so I figured I might as well make use of it. But we'll see. I gotta build myself back up again. I think the problem.
Yeah, you don't want to push it, especially if you've, been away from it for a bit there, and, kind of recondition yourself to get into it. So there you go. Well, that sounds like a reasonable, kind of work your way back into it and go from there. And, I think you just got to tell work that, listen, I got to get out on the bike, you just need more time to get out there.
Unfortunately, not like my retired from job where I used to three couple hours, as I got to be on site at 8, college, and we have to open the testing center in the morning. We actually have college students that come in at 8 o'clock to take tests. Imagine that.
Wow. Well, yeah, no, I get it. I was, of course, just joking, but, well, and you know what? That's the whole thing, but wow, get out of here. College student showing up at 8 a.m. for something? Man, oh, man. Must be a sign of the times. Things are changing then, I guess. But now, question for you, is this like a year-round gig? Like, how does the summer look when school's out there?
Yeah, it's pretty much year-round. Of course, during the semester, summertime, we're open a little bit less. The community college, but they have a summer session that goes through just beginning of August, and not a lot of kids around, but they do have classes. But we also do placement testing, so incoming students, especially foreign students, need to take a placement test for math and English. that usually is the big thing that we're doing in the summer. Obviously not as much as what we would do during the semester, but this particular center is really growing. I was talking to the director yesterday, and she shared the fact that she came here in 22. She came here from in 2022, and in the 4 years, we've doubled the number of tests that we've given for regular academic tests and then placements as well. We also occasionally do testing for other institutions, like students that are going to other colleges, but they're from Rochester, so they're taking summer classes. Anyway, yeah, we're pretty busy considering what we're doing.
Oh, wow, that sounds like it for sure. I mean, I was wondering if it lightened up at all in the summer for you guys, but I see really no with the summer session and then placement testing for the new students and all that. I mean, that makes sense. So, well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. That sounds like enrollment is growing and the college is overall growing. And, yeah, the community colleges here, you know, they've been more struggling as of late. There's been some consolidation and, our local college area, community college, in the Buffalo area there, and they're shuttering one of their campuses. They have three, one in the north, one in the city, and one in the south of Buffalo, and they're shuttering the south campus. So, yeah, they've been in an enrollment decline and overall consolidation for the last year or so. But that's good. That's good to hear that the community school out there is doing well.
We have two campuses, one downtown, and they moved into the part of the old Kodak office complex downtown, and then we've got our main campus is out in Brighton. But they're growing. Bunch of my kids went there on a 2+2 program, which was really convenient for them because they could commute and get, they were paying their own tuition, so financially a better situation. And then they went to Upstate, Oswego, Geneseo, to finish out and get their bachelor's degree. So, yeah, it's a pretty nice situation. Yeah, I'm familiar with ECC. My dad was a adjunct computer programming teacher back in the day. So I've been on the Williamsville campus quite a bit when he would teach night school. I'd hang out in the computer room. So, well, very good. I think I'm going to say 7-3s. I've got to navigate some intersections and pedestrians here, so I'll give it back to you. Don't miss my final. ECCKOWA2WTI.
WA2WTI, ECCK. Oh, very good. Okay. Oh, cool. Yep. ECCK on campus. Williamsville. Very, very good there. And you guys, sounds interesting. And yeah, I mean, that's great to see you for a the traffic in the background there. So just especially with how people drive today and how distracted they are, just stay safe there and enjoy the ride. And you have a good day. We'll catch you later. 7-3 WA2WTI KC2KOO Mobile.
Morning, Paul. KC2KOO and WA2WPI WB2KAO. Good morning, gentlemen. Dave Paul is originally from Lockport, and he knew Dick Zeal, K2ECQ. He didn't know his dad, I don't think, but he knew Dick. Good morning, Dave. You got some nice dashboard time again today, Dave.
Oh, very good, very good. I thought he was from Lockport. I wasn't 100% sure, but very good. Oh yeah, Dick Zeal, and then his son Chuck, and then I work with Chuck's son Carl. So definitely a telecom legacy there, that's for sure. But very good, and Sir, Mr. McGee, good morning. We are back behind the windshield again. This is a windshield week, and then tomorrow will be windshield time again, so that'll round things out. But what's going on with you, Mr. McGee? What's new?
Oh, not too much. Cheryl's laundry's in the washer. You know, kind of standard modus operandi for Thursdays, as you know. This is the homemaker day here. Cheryl and her sister are doing well. Dave, I'm going to bring Gary up and see if he's around so we can say hello to him.
Yeah, sounds good, buddy. You do your thing here. I'm going to hang the mic up and I'll just listen here for a little bit. WB2KAO, KC2KAO.
No problem, brother. WB2KAO.
V83DZP.
V3DZP, WB2KAO. Sound this morning, Gary?
I am. Give me one minute, Jimmy. One minute.
Yeah, no problem. No problem at all. Yeah, some nice activity on the repeater, and Dave is kind of riding along here over in the Buffalo area. So, Dave, where is the first destination this morning, Dave?
Good morning there, Gary. Long time no talk, and very good, Timmy. First stop of the day here is Ellicottville, New York. So, about 40 miles southwest of Buffalo. We're just working our way there now. We've got about another 10 miles to go, and we should be, I'm sorry, as the road sign just corrected me, I thought it was 10, more like 15 miles to go. So, working our way down there for the first stop of the day. Get some work done, got a crew, pick up some donuts for them, so should be happy campers, and we'll see where the day goes. Might have a second project this afternoon. If we don't get to that, we'll do that tomorrow.
That sounds good. Sounds good. Boy, beautiful weather for going to these sites. Dave, you never commented. I wondered, did you get my voicemail that I left you about Gary's daughter's smart meter over in Hamburg, and with all that rain, water got into the system there, and they had to bring an electrician in and all that.
Jeez, I mean, I don't remember seeing that at all. So water got into the smart meter, and that's never a good thing. So what, interesting. I think I know where you're going with this, but continue.
I'm going to let Gary continue. I guess my voicemail got lost in cyberspace. I'm going to let Gary continue. Go ahead, Gary.
Good morning, Dave. I'm just paying off my Visa bill here. I had my banking account open up there on the computer, so I wanted to finish doing that to make sure they didn't throw me in jail or charge me any more interest than they have to. Yeah, what happened, Dave, was my daughter, she's over in Hamburg, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, she gets a call and a visit from whoever the outfit is, the electrical supplier, stating that the smart meter had sent a signal saying that there was a problem. And they came down, they took a look at it. Sure enough, water had come down the back. Somebody had put muddy up there or whatever. I don't know if it was on top of the meter box or what. But anyway, they got in there, and the meter was smart enough to say that there's a problem. But in the meantime, the water migrated down into the fuse panel. And it blew, it melted one of the legs onto the panel. So she had to have the complete breaker panel replaced, as well as the wiring down and whatever. And I guess they wanted to do an order. Channel 7 News out of Buffalo wanted to, KBW wanted to do a news story, and the electrical people wanted to do a story as well on the benefits of the smart meters, how smart they are, that they could say they notified it before the house burned out, I think. But needless to say, it still cost my daughter, I can't remember, there was $2,000 to the electrician to replace the panel and all the wiring and everything else. And I think, well, Jesus, the water got in up off the back. You know, normally everything above the meter is a hydro problem, and anything after that is the homeowners, but if the water got in the top, why the hell is she paying the electrician when it was the supplier's problem? Go ahead.
Okay, this is going down the road. I thought it was going to go down, Gary. Well, first, I'm very sorry to hear that. That's a couple of grand she wasn't expecting, but at least they caught it before something catastrophic happened. And with the smart meters and that, they have quite a bit of detection in them. They have overcurrent detection. They also, if they see extraordinary high, low, things like that, they have parameters to catch those things. So, one of the safeties absolutely caught that something wasn't quite right and sent the alert, and that's, you know, pros supposedly one of the benefits of the smart meters and that they catch things like that. Now, at least here in the States, anything from the weather head down to the house is the homeowner's responsibility. So the point of the demarc point between the utility and the homeowner would be you have the triplex cable that comes from the pole to the house and then interconnects at either the top of the weather head or at the top of the house where the demarc is. At that connection point, anything from the weather head down is the homeowner's responsibility over here in the state. So, and a lot of people, they don't realize that, and I don't know who came up with that, but that's the deal there. That's why ultimately they put the responsibility on her was because it leaked from the weather head, which she, as the homeowner, they own that.
I would have thought that it would have been after the meter because she doesn't own the smart meter, does she?
No, and I that's where there's a lot of confusion there because absolutely you would think that it would be the meter channel where the meter sits that would be your demarc point, but it is not. And yes, they do not own the meter. The other part of it is that if that meter channel went bad, so if the water got it and rotted out the meter channel or rusted things up too bad, she'd be responsible for that as well. So out of that whole thing, she owns from the weatherhead to stack down the wire, the meter channel, that the meter socket that the meter actually sits in, and everything else she owns, including the meter. And I did not realize that until I started working for a utility. That's how it works, because I assumed that the demarc point would be where the meter is, because you don't own the meter. The utility does, but that is not the case. We've all kind of got bitten by that. I've had to have some electrical work done, and it was kind of the same thing. So, if anything, all in all, at least they caught it before it started fire.
Oh yeah, you can't put a price on safety, that's for sure. But I'm pretty sure over here in Canada that from the output of the meter, after that, then it is a homeowner's responsibility. But the dackable and everything else, that's hydro problem, that's their problem. Anyway, there you have her. So what's going on today, Tim? You've been busy. You've had pictures. You've had visitors. You've done everything. What's on tap for your schedule today?
Yeah, the usual Thursday laundry. And Gary and I were saying, hey, Channel 7 wants to do a story, and National Grid wants to do a story on this in the media, then they ought to foot that bill for the two grand, Dave.
Well, that's it. I was going to say Amber, she's going to be NYSEC, but she's going to be your favorite, NYSEC RG&E, but it's one of those things, that's funny. Well, especially NYSEC RG&E, they've had a rather significant imaging problem with smart meters in general, and I wouldn't, it'd be interesting to see if they would negotiate to be able to do a positive story for a change there.
That would be interesting. I think I told you when they put the smart meter in, the first bill was twice as high. So I call them up, and she's very nice, and she says she'd look at it. Well, thank God the guy that put the smart meter in took a picture of the analog meter, and he had obviously read it wrong. And I was sure that this was going to be resolved, but if he hadn't taken a picture, I don't know how easy that would have been. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, I don't know whether that would be one of the protocols for a meter reader to be dialectic or not. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, it's all settled down now, and everybody is happy, regardless of the bill. The fact that no loss of life, no property damage or anything other than a bill that you don't expect. But any homeowner can expect anything, any day, any time, and whatever. You never know what's going to happen when you own a house. You know what I mean? Whether you got a sump pump at the bottom of the basement that's going to blow at that particular time, or a drain's going to plug and you got to get Roto-Rooter in, or one of these guys in for $200 unplug a drain. You never know. A home is an ongoing expense, no matter how you cut it. Anyway, there you go, Tim. Well, I just did my software update for my Flex. They came out with the new update. I got to figure what the hell it's all about now. They got these individual sidebands over. You can set. I see it has, like, to me, it was this sideband was 100 and 2.9, but you can set multiple ones, screens up now. And just click on them, and it automatically changes your filter. So if you want 100, 2.7, you want to go narrow, or you want to go wide, that's all at your fingertips. And all the digital voice recording, I'm not sure what's going on with some of the CW stuff. I got to get into that, figure that out as well. But it all went smooth. Took a little bit of time for the radio software to download and install it all. But it's all in, and everything is working here. So there you go. And I got to head over to my electronic store this morning and install my dumpster's latch again.
keep the people from dumpster diving over to the electronics store, Dave. he may have gotten a phone call or something there. He wasn't too far from the place he was going to anyway, so. Oh, very good. Very good, Gary. Well, I'll let you get along with things, and thought we'd say good morning to you. Wish you another beautiful sun-slashed late spring day. And find out all the updates for the Flex. One of the guys here locally bought a Flex 8400 at Hamvention. Is that the latest and greatest Flex? I just haven't kept track of it. There's John, AC2RL, mentioned that he received a shipment of a Flex 8400.
That's the latest. I got the 86, and then they went to the 88 model, which has got a faster processor and all kinds of neat stuff. And then the Aurora, now the 500 watt transceiver, belongs into that category as well. So they make the 8400 and 8400M, and then the 86 and 8600M, which is it's got four receivers in it, and the 8400 just got the two SKUs, but the 8600's got four receivers. That's what I've got, only the previous one is the 8400. So that's what they want you to spend your money on. And then of course there's the Aurora, and they do have an Aurora M model, and that's the one that I'm saying over here in Canada got $15,000 at Radio World.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, well. What do they say, Gary? The difference between a man and a boy is the price of his toy. And Roth says, whoever passes away with the most toys wins.
But the only thing is, how the hell do you compare it? You know what I mean? If you're both gone, I don't know how you compare who's had the most toys. Yeah, the M model is the one with a screen on it, Tim. The 8400, you have to have a computer. It has to be hooked up to a computer, and everything is run off of the computer with your mouse. And the M model, like I have, you don't need a computer, period. It's like a normal radio, but everything is, you got the waterfall and all the knobbies go with it, like a normal radio type of thing. But you have a screen for the menu, and then you can set up all these preset profiles, they call them. So for 40 meters, I've got the setup for like 40 CW, 40 sideband, and then 40 sideband EX. So the 40 sideband is the PR781, and then the 40 sideband EX I'm using the Heil headset with the 86 on it. So you set up all your equalizers and everything else with a remic on that. And then, of course, there's the FDA, the FT4. I've got them all set in, and the frequencies that they use, and RGDY. Whatever mode you want, you can preset all these things. They just happen, and the radio goes to that frequency, and the mode, and everything is ready to go.
Well, it definitely sounds like quite the setup, Gary. That's for sure. Yeah, Cheryl was telling me that you gave her the tour of the house, and she was telling me about that. We really had a very nice time, Gary. We really did. And next time, I'm sure there'll be a next time. We'll take you out for some Mandarin there. I'm sure you've got a favorite place where you'd like to go. So. Anyway, I'm gonna go. Her laundry's just about done. I'll put it in the dryer and go take a shower and what have you. So, V3DZP, WD2KAO. Have a good day. Enjoy as always.
Oh, you got another 5 minutes. I got the quiz up. If you want to do the quiz, you can let me know on that one. I ran up to my son's place like last night and dropped off his gift card there for Friday for their anniversary. And yesterday, too, Glenn gave me a call. I guess he ended up having an ambulance ride. He was in such pain, he didn't want to sit and wait in the emergency room, so he ended up calling an ambulance. I guess he got a massive kidney stone that he said was too big. So Gail, LVW, is driving him to the
St. or Niagara Falls General Hospital this morning, and they're going to go in there and I guess with the ultrasound vibrator, dildo or whatever they use, break it up and then suck out the pieces. So Glenn's going to be in the hospital for a night, I guess. That's happened with Mr. D. Heck. But if you want to do the quiz, I'm not going anywhere in any hurry.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sorry to hear about that. Yep, I had one of those. I know how painful they are. It sounds like they're going to be able to take good care of him. Yeah, I hadn't heard that. But, yeah, very good there. Dale will be able to bring him, and he'll be okay. Yeah, I'm all set. Fire away, Gert.
All righty. In what year were the so-called war bands established? In 1959, 79, 80, or 89?
I think it was 19... either 79 or 80. I guess I'm going to go with 1980.
Well, you humbled us all around it. It was 79. A Hawaiian KH-6 ham confirming its war with another Hawaiian KH-6 ham will not count towards working North America for the Work All Continents Award. A true or false?
That is true.
And that is correct. What is a Smith chart? A chart for calculating the reactance of an inductor. A chart for finding metal to use in any given antenna structure. A diagram with circles for RF plotting of ground plane antennas. D, a chart for studying transmission line behavior.
I believe the answer is D, Delta.
And that is correct. What is a NuVisor? A, a type of resistor. B, a type of transistor. C, a vacuum tube. Or D, a storage device for NuBase particle waves.
It's a type of transistor.
No, but you remember they were little wee tubes?
Yep. The Amico NuVisor converter.
That's right. I had one of them, too, hooked up to my HQ-170 to get 2 meters.